As we continue into the book of 1 Samuel, our passage today is taken from the first chapter, verses 21 through 28, and that can be found on page 419 of the Pew Bible. The Word of the Lord. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you, Elkanah," her husband told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skein of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Thus saith the Lord.
Several Sundays a year, we hear Chuck encourage us as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings to the Lord. He says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah.
And I happened to think quite a bit about that this last week as I was looking in our passage today and listening to this exchange between the husband and wife, Elkanah and Hannah, and in the continuation of the story here. We know where Chuck gets that. I do anyway. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, which says, "Each one must give as he has decided to give in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Well, as I was studying these next 8 verses in 1 Samuel, Chuck's words kind of came back to me here a little bit as I thought about Hannah and her gift of her son to the Lord. And we hear in the text, she prepares for this gift. And this gift is a significant gift. It's the gift of her long-awaited son. She gives him, as we know, in obedience to a vow that she had made back in verse 11. She gives him in response to what she has been given. And that is always the best posture in which we give, in response to what we have been given. Wednesday night in pastor's class, as we were taking a little deeper look at this text and some of the details in our text, and there's lots of little details in the text today that we don't have time to cover today. One of the things I mentioned to the group that gathered for a study was the repetition of a particular Hebrew verb that comes again and again, 4 times, in fact, in verses 27 and 28 of our passage today. And the word can mean a couple of different things. The verb can mean to ask, to petition. It can even mean to inquire, to borrow, to beg, or to lend. And that's why in verses 27 and 28 of our text today, we don't notice the repetition so much, because the translators who are translating it from the Hebrew into English are trying to make a decision about what best word to use to render the meaning that's behind it here in the Hebrew. And so invariably they choose to render it in more ways than one in our English text. And when we get that, we miss out on a little bit of the repetition that we hear in the text and on some of the wordplay that is present in the original language. The wordplay comes because the root word, Sa'al, is the root of the name, also the root of the name Saul. Now, isn't that interesting? Because Saul is going to become the second main character in this book, and we're not going to get to Saul in a little while. But we will, I hope, have our minds and our thoughts captured a little bit this week because some of the translations of this word in verses 27 and 28 come out as to lend. And so the question comes up, how is it that she gives Samuel but only lends him to the Lord? Well, everything we have been given first by God. And this includes, of course, our gifts, our minds, our abilities to think, to reason, to discern. And so let's lend that back to the Lord a little bit today, this morning, so we can hear all that he has for us from the word today. Pray with me. Loving God, living God, help us to hear your holy word with hearts that are open so that we may truly understand and an understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow your word in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking to honor and glorify you in all that we do. I pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I've divided our passage today into two parts. So this is kind of one of those two-part sermons, half and half. And if you'd like, I'd love it if you would open your Bibles and look with me at the first half of our passage today, 1 Samuel 1, verses 21 to 23, as we listen to this exchange between Elkanah the husband and Hannah the wife, as the time comes once again, the annual time to pack up the family and make their way to Shiloh to visit the tabernacle for their annual time of worship and sacrifice. Now, we've talked about this a little bit already because this is what was going on when the book of Samuel first opened, right? Well, a year has taken place since that time, and now there's a baby. It's Samuel, the firstborn of Hannah. And I'm struck right away by the reminder that this family of Elkanah's is a faithful family. And that is no doubt due to the leadership of the husband and father. I think that's clear in the text. Elkanah is a faithful and a godly man. I'm not trying to suggest that every time the door of the church is open that y'all should be here. I've gotten over that. I am not here for everything. My family is not here for everything. But what we see here in Elkanah is a man who is determined, and I think at some expense for himself, I would add, a man who is determined to make worship a priority. Do you see that? This is the second time now in the chapter that they've made mention of this trip that the family packs up and takes to Shiloh each year for sacrifices and worship. And this is no small matter for those of us who are living now in the 21st century, especially those of us with children. If we are going to give a godly heritage to our children, we must make the spiritual life of our families a top priority. And is that not a little bit of what baptism, the covenant of baptism, is about, too? So we need to make the spiritual life of our families a top priority if we're going to give to them a godly heritage. And when the expectations of culture, the society around us, of our friends, or even our family, whatever it might be, when those people or those things get in the way, it's a great opportunity for those of us who profess Christ then to give a testimony of thankfulness, not only to others, but to our own children. Thankfulness to God for what he has done for us, and demonstrating to folks that worship, that our spiritual life is a top priority. And we have had to make some tough decisions in our home about that. I remember a few years ago when my oldest son was playing in the community tackle football league. One of the years he was in it was a year that grade level had games scheduled on Sundays. And so we had to make some decisions. And one of those games happened to be scheduled, thankfully the only one, at noon. Now, his coach was a really nice guy. We liked his coach, and he did a really good job. So nice was this coach that when I called him to say that Micah wouldn't be there for that game, he could come, but it would be later, and it was okay with us if he didn't get to play. The coach was so nice, he said, well, I'll come to church and pick him up so he can be there on time. And of course, we declined. But it was an opportunity that God gave us to give thanks, to demonstrate the thanksgiving that we have to the Lord and the priority that we place in worship. Now, I don't know what it cost Elkanah to pack up his entire family every year and make this trip to Shiloh for the annual sacrifices and worship, but he did it. We're seeing it mentioned again. And his children knew then that it was important. Giving a godly heritage to your children means making worship a priority. It means other things. It also means being on the same page, husbands and wives, with one another. And I think we see that in our text today, too. I realize that not everyone here is married. Not everyone who is married here has children. So if this doesn't apply directly to you, I'd ask you to apply it indirectly by praying for and encouraging the friends and the family you know who have children and have professed their faith in Christ. This came up a couple of Sundays ago, but we wondered about the boldness of Hannah the first time, the last time she was at the tabernacle with Eli, making this vow to give up her firstborn son to the Lord without her husband Elkanah there to make it with her. So on Wednesday night, you know, we talked a little bit about, well, was that allowed? What did the dad think? And sure enough, Numbers 30 makes it clear that under the law, a vow made by a wife must be confirmed by the husband. But I think it's clear as we make our way through this text, if you had any doubts about Hannah's seriousness at all at fulfilling this vow, it is gone quickly. She's serious. She's going to fulfill the vow. Now, who's to say that Hannah, in all of those years of infertility, had not made her intentions known to her husband previously? Maybe she had. Either way, when we get to verses 22 and 23 of our text, it's clear that Elkanah is on board with Hannah's decision and her desire, isn't he? A much more patriarchal society back then than what we know today, of course, but even so, giving a godly heritage to your children requires that not only are both parents unified, but that the husband respect and encourage the spiritual gifts and the ministry of his wife. And we see that. Samuel was Elkanah's son too, right? It was no small thing to give up the son in response to this vow that was made. But at the same time, Hannah is exercising some kind of ministry here in giving this boy up to the Lord. And I can think of no way this kind of giving would be possible if Elkanah and Hannah were not of one mind together spiritually. And as we saw in the dedication last week, but also in our baptisms for today, we dedicate our children to God not because we believe that they will all grow up and become pastors. And I just this image, you know, of you all going about that thought, but not being able to express it in front of me, of course, flashed before my mind. But we give up our children and we dedicate them to the Lord not because we think they're all going to grow up and become pastors or be involved in some kind of vocational ministry, but we desire to discover what God has wired them to do to glorify Him and advance the kingdom. No matter what it is that they end up pursuing vocationally. God loves a cheerful giver, right? We know that. that is not just something that happens when we pass the offering plate, but he is honored and he is worshiped when we pass along a godly heritage to our children. And I love that we see that and we're reminded of it today in our text as we witness this exchange between Elkanah and Hannah. You know, as we make our way to the second half of the passage, I think we also learn some things about giving a worthy gift. And I have a confession to make. I'm kind of a picky person. I'm kind of picky. Some of you maybe have figured that out. I don't know. I try my best to be gracious. I love giving gifts. I like surprises. I don't like it when my surprises are discovered. Nothing gives me more pleasure than finding just the right person or the right thing to give to the right person, you know, especially my kids around Christmas time. Just, you know, something that just hits the target. I love that. For me, it's like a quest to find just the right thing. So I have grown a bit sensitive about the old saying, it's the thought that counts. Now, I don't know what that meant when it first started to be uttered, it's the thought that counts. But in my experience, when someone says it's the thought that counts, they usually mean, I put no thought into this whatsoever, but on the last minute on the way over here, I stopped by Casey's and picked up this whatever. You know what I'm saying? But it's the thought that counts. And I think, what thought was that exactly? Save the money, give me a hug, a pat on the back, I'll be good. We all could use some encouragement, pat on the back. We don't give them out to others as much as we should. I don't. But Hannah is not going to show up again at the tabernacle before the Lord until she is ready to fulfill the vow that she has made. And she is not going to drop off a toddler who's still in diapers with an extra box of formula. Here you go. It'll all be good. And hand him over to the high priest. Now that's a picture, isn't it? The high priest of all the land. Here he is. Good luck with that. A 2 or 3 process of weaning is not uncommon in those days. Was not uncommon in those days for a lot of reasons. I don't think it was all tradition and all that sort of thing. They did not have, of course, plumbing in their homes. They did not have safe water to drink. So 2 or 3 years was pretty common time for the weaning of a child. When we give a worthy gift to the Lord, it requires some preparation. In a month or so, most of you are going to receive a letter asking you, it's an annual letter that comes out here from our church, asking you to prayerfully consider what you're going to give to the church in the next year. It's a confidential thing. Only the treasurer sees it. It's kind of a big deal. We've all been through it many times. And those of you who are new to our church are finding out about it today a little bit early. But this helps, of course, our stewardship folks plan the budget for next year. And one of the reasons we do that is because a worthy gift is one that requires preparation. And so when that letter comes, we should all be praying about it, right? It shouldn't be something hasty that we throw in on the Sunday that we celebrate the giving of those commitments. It should be something that in unity, if you're married, you've prayed about and prepared to give. We also see in our text today that blessing comes from sacrifice. Now, I know that some of you are probably thinking, now this is turning into a money sermon. This is not a money sermon. If you are feeling convicted, that's between you and the Lord. But as I look at our text today, and as we're looking here at the end of our passage, we see some very critical things to us about giving a worthy gift. And another one is that we are to be reminded that every gift we give comes with sacrifice. And that is not a bad thing. In fact, this is what ties this text in to Christ, points ahead to the coming of Christ and how this impacts our lives today as believers, professing faith, being part of a family of faith here at Westkirk. Jesus gave us the ultimate gift. He gave us the gift of his life. He sacrificed himself for us. His accomplished work on the cross was the gift that he gave us that allows us to live for eternity. That gift was a gift of sacrifice. It was a worthy gift, the most worthy gift. But as we look at the last couple of verses in our passage, we also see that what we give to the Lord comes from the Lord. And I mentioned this in the introduction before I prayed at the beginning of the sermon today. Nothing that we have, nothing that we have received, we did not receive first from God. And of course, that includes our finances. But as I mentioned earlier, our intellect, our ability to think and to reason, to know. These are all gifts that we have, the spiritual gifts that God has chosen to give us. We received them from him first. And that's why I thought it was so interesting and fun and exciting to see that some translators translate this verb to lend. Because what God has given to us, he really has only lent us. It was his to begin with. We have it for our lives in part to give back to him. Giving a worthy gift. As we read our text today, and I know many of you we'll look more at this passage in this next week, and some of you will talk about it in your small groups and things like that. We want to think about all of those things that are modeled for us in today's text. The godly heritage that God has shown us through Elkanah and Hannah, this faithful family, their commitment to worship, the unity they had as husband and wife, the value in the service that they rendered to the Lord, but also in what we see about giving a worthy gift back to God. That it requires thoughtfulness on our part and preparation. That what we give to the Lord comes from the Lord, but that all of the blessings that we have point to Christ, remind us of Christ, because if they're worthy, they come with sacrifice, and Christ has made the ultimate sacrifice for us. Let's pray. Father, I think that this text for us today, as interesting as it is, because it continues in a story that has kind of captured our attention, challenges us to take our faith to another level, because often when we're in scripture and even listening to sermons, and especially if we have a bent towards doctrine and theology, we sometimes fail to make the connection of how these things that we see in scripture, especially in stories like this one, historical accounts, are practically applied in our own lives. And so we thank you, Lord, for this section here, these verses in the end of chapter 1, where we see a faithful family modeling for us, a godly heritage that they're passing on to their kids, and the gifts that they're giving, especially the gift of their boy, that are worthy gifts, sacrificial gifts, and gifts given with joy. Father, we thank you for these reminders. It's a reminder to us that our faith is not a Sunday morning faith, but a faith in Christ that is lived out each and every day, a faith that is a priority for us, that should impact everything that we do, not just be a slice of our lives. So, Lord, we thank you for these reminders. And I pray, Father, that as we close our time in worship and head to Sunday school or go to whatever the next thing is that we have planned for the day, that we would not leave what we've learned and what we know here at church, but take it with us and recommit ourselves to you and to living lives of significance, used by you as your chosen vessels to carry the message of the gospel and of the kingdom to the world around us. We thank you for the testimony of faithfulness in baptism today. And we pray, Father, that we too would be a light of the gospel for you this week. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I think that hymn was a perfect benediction for our passage today. And so as we go from this place, recognizing the ultimate worthy gift that Christ has given for us, may we give our lives back to him. Amen.